Our first question is from Brian MacArthur from UBS. Please go ahead.
Good morning. I was wondering if you could just elaborate. I notice your forecast for production the next 5 years has changed somewhat, specifically with respect to the U.S. ISL operations. Could you just go through what the new forecast shows there?
Well, thanks, Brian. We have slightly tweaked our production forecasts in the U.S., and I'm going to ask Bob Steen to comment on that.
Yeah, the permitting and production process, we've adjusted them according to our expansion plans and the state of our current permitting progress.
So is the pushback just the fact we haven't got permits on certain sites, or they're taking longer, or is this firmer than before? Can I look at it that way, or is it just we're still working through the whole process?
Brian, I think you can take it as firmer than before. It's a bit of an evolving process for us down there between the NRC and the BLM and the Wyoming Department of Environmental Quality. It's complicated. We've said that before.
Right.
Yet it's a place we need to be and want to be. So I think it just better reflects the timing that we see now.
Great, thanks. Maybe just a quick follow-up. Again, just looking at our favorite realized price chart going forward, I sort of noticed it looks like, am I reading this correctly, I mean, sort of in the mid-pricing ranges, 40s through 60, 70, 80, we've sort of knocked everything up $3 or $4 as we go through at every level. Can I read that to be fair to say now we've worn out some of the older historical contracts that we're really weighting it down?
Brian, that's indeed the case. I think we update it as those come off, and so those would be the new numbers you'd see.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Brian.
Our next question is from Greg Barnes from TD Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Tim, with Japan obviously questioning the future for nuclear power in that country and a lot of press reports about the potential for the reactors all to be closed by next spring if they don't get these safety checks. I know they've been approved, but the states don't allow them to move forward. What impact do you see on your business from that occurring?
Yeah, thanks, Greg. First, I have to say, personally, at least, I have trouble seeing how that could happen, how Japan could take them all down at the same time and certainly on any kind of a longer-term basis. But that said, we obviously are looking at that and looking forward. I think I can say, and then I'll pass it over to Ken Seitz, who's got more detail, but Japan going forward, if you look at our entire sales portfolio going forward, Japan would represent probably in the 17% range of that portfolio, and so it's not insignificant, but that's what it would be for us. Ken, I'll ask you if you have any further comments.
Yeah, absolutely, Tim. Thanks. Yeah, Greg, well, as Tim said, you know, our overall portfolio long-term commitment is about 17 to 18%. In 2011, Japan represents about 12% of our deliveries, and we expect to make all of those deliveries with the exception of about 700,000 pounds, which we have agreed to defer for one Japanese utility, and that's about 2% of this year's deliveries. And we still intend to be well within our guidance of 31 to 33 million pounds. But going forward, if your question is a permanent phase out of nuclear in Japan, it would be a case of us working with those customers, and depending on what that phase out might look like, 17 to 18% of our portfolio being liberated for resale. So we would have those volumes to place back in the market. I can tell you some of those contracts with Japanese customers would be at prices lower than today's market prices, and some would be at higher. So it would be a matter of how that plays out. But as Tim said, you know, that's not something that we see as realistic. And today, we're not canceling any volumes with Japanese customers. We're just looking at deferrals.
Okay, thank you. Just a follow-up then, too. Switching topics to Cigar Lake, you've said you're looking at various initiatives that could favorably impact some of the estimates on OPEX, CAPEX, things like that. What kind of initiatives are you looking at?
I can't give you specifics at this time, but I can tell you that similar to the surface freezing, for instance, that we came up with, our engineers that came up with this, we're always looking for better and innovative ways. It would be in that order, things like that. So as soon as we have a better handle on those and whether they're implementable, we'll certainly provide details on that.
Okay, thanks.
Our next question is from Borden Putnam from My Own Capital. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Tim. Can you hear me?
Absolutely, Borden. Good morning.
Yeah, and congratulations on hosting your first call. It's going really well.
Thank you
really
so much.
Well deserved. A question on MacArthur River. I'm looking back at the life of mine plan that you guys provided in 2008, and I know that's a bit in the past now, and things might have changed, but it called for 300,000 pounds of production out of box hole boring testing sometime in 2011. Have you done that? Are you gonna? And if you do, what part of the mine will it be done in?
You know, Borden, I don't have the 2008 piece in front of me, but I can tell you we've certainly evolved since then. And I say evolved in the sense of our technology has gotten better, our freezing, and we've got a better handle on how we can freeze, now out into the sandstone and go above the ore bodies, which we previously didn't think we could do. And so that has negated to some extent our need for box hole boring and other mining technologies that are only used from underneath the ore body. And so we've done some testing on box hole boring, but we certainly haven't produced any pounds from it, and the need for that is, I would say, waning.
Interesting. Well, this is not my follow-up, but that would suggest that this might be some of the advancements that might apply to Cigar as well. So I'll be interested to hear more about that. Congratulations on that improvement or that advance. My follow-up was going to relate to your comment in the MD&A. It says that 2013 production at MacArthur River may be a bit lower as you transition into Upper Zone 4. And again, looking back at that production, that life of mine plan, I'm not seeing, I didn't think you had a lot of production coming in 2013 out of Upper Zone 4, so where is there going to be a loss in production during that transition? Because it looks to me like you're still going to have 18.7 million pounds. What do you think it's going to come in at now, and where's the missing pounds?
Yep, so Borden, let me ask Bob Steen to give some detail on that.
Thanks.
Borden, as we've been working through our, our life of mine plans, and that Zone 4 North is becoming more and more important to us, and that is where we are seeing the transition to that in 2013, and also in the that's the area where we are advancing in what we call the cathedral freezing, which is what Tim talked about, where we are in very innovative ways being able to create freeze curtains around ore in places that we didn't think we could get and extend freeze curtains in the past. So that's and we see that as transitioning into that area through that 2013 time frame.
So is it the lower zone 4 that's going to be slowing down at that same time, Bob?
Well, it's just going through the transition into lower zone 4 and upper zone 4. That's the area where we will be transitioning through. So that's
right.
The combination of those.
All right, thank you.
Our next question is from Ben Elias from Stern Agee. Please go ahead. Mr. Elias, your line is open.
Hello, can you hear me?
Hi, Ben.
Hello.
Yes, we can, Ben.
Okay, thanks for taking my question. I had a question, I guess that was already answered, but the second question, you know, Areva has taken some write-down on some of their mining assets, or potentially will. You know, as you look at your asset portfolio and you look at the new demand outlook you have over the next 10, 20 years, how confident are you that, you know, the costs there will be, you know, reasonable and could support some of the investment you're making in these areas?
Yeah, Ben, I think we're blessed with a good suite of assets that are, and you've seen it through our technical reports that we've put out. You've seen some of the operating costs that we're projecting life of mine going forward. So we watch that very close. We're comfortable with the projects that we're advancing, that they will be in the ballpark. Obviously, we'll watch where the price of uranium goes. And right now, we're moving our suite of projects ahead to have them ready. You know, they take many years to bring on, to have them ready to go, and as the market calls for that uranium, we'll be ready to deliver.
Okay, and you know, you mentioned you've been looking for investments for the last 2 to 3 years, haven't found anything. Has the sort of downturn that we've seen, have, you know, what's been the change in, you know, some of those assets that are available or not available, or the economics of some of those potential acquisitions?
Then we look at a host of things when we're evaluating any kind of property. Obviously, the acquisition cost would be just a part of it. And you're indeed right that I would say over the last months now, especially since Fukushima, some of those acquisition numbers have come down. But we also look at the operating costs, the construction costs. We look at the geopolitics. We look at the geology. So it's a whole suite of factors that we'll evaluate on any project. But I can tell you that we have a dedicated team, a business development team that, as I said, I think is scouring the world, and we'll bring back projects that make sense to Cameco.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question is from John Redstone from Desjardins. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks very much. Hello. Most of my questions, as I always say, have already been answered, but I'll come back to my favorite project, Kintyre. In as much as since the disaster in Japan, I wondered if you'd seen any noticeable change in the relevant authorities in Australia towards the development of that project.
John, we haven't. We've been working hard to advance the pre-feasibility study, as you know, on that project. We've been working closely with the state government and state officials, and I can say they've been supportive of our efforts. We've also been working with the Mardu people, another important part of our social license, if you like. Had them over here for a visit the first 2 weeks of July, and so that's progressing. So we're pressing along, I would say, on all fronts, and hope to have our feasibility study in the first quarter of 2012. So I don't think we've seen any increased requirements at this point.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Once again, please, if you have a question, please press star 1 at this time. And our next question is from Orest Walkadal from Canaccord Genuity. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, and thanks for taking my call. My question just revolves around your spot market purchases, whether, just curious what your current view is right now, whether using some of that excess cash to buy material at current, you know, at the $50 mark makes sense, and whether you're seeing you know, both the Japanese and German utilities, whether you're seeing them enter the market to liquidate inventory.
I'll just open by saying that we've been quite interested to follow the spot price and see where it's at, and it's hanging in. I saw it even bumped up this week a bit, so it's been in the $50 range. Long-term has held pretty firm at 68, which is also encouraging, I would say, for us. As far as our purchases, I think we watch that very closely, and on the dips, we would get involved. Japan and Germany, are they going to put material on the market or a spot market? Possible. I can tell you we'd be interested if they did, and we've been talking to some of the Japanese utilities about that, and if they were interested, we'd be interested in talking to them. So, Ken, I don't know if you have anything to add to that.
I agree. I would say that, you know, if the question is buying uranium at $50, sure, we always buy it. We're always in the market at various price levels, either buying or selling uranium, depending on our own commitment levels and whether we think it's a good deal. So would we step in, just as you said, Tim, with some excess inventories coming to the market? Yeah, absolutely, we would. But we also, just in the normal course, are always buying and selling uranium.
And would, and during Q2 specifically, would you characterize that as sort of a typical quarter from a spot market purchase perspective, or were you guys less active?
Yeah, I would say we were less active in the spot market purchasing. That's not to say that volumes weren't similar to what they were last year. In fact, you probably saw quite similar volumes, but we saw a lot of materials just trading hands among the financial players, among the traders, to get those volume numbers up for ourselves. Like many, I think, customers as well, just sort of waiting to see how this market plays out going into the fall. So we were not active with purchases in the second quarter.
Great. Thanks very much.
Our next question is from Greg Barnes from TD Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Tim, if we look out to 2014, and let's assume the HEU agreement is terminated and you're not getting any more of that material, how do you see your volume sales profile evolving?
Yeah, Greg, we intend to maintain our sales profile through those years. We'll have Cigar Lake starting up in that period, obviously, to fill some of the gap left by the HEU. We also have some inventories that will be available. So we our goal and our plan is to maintain our sales levels.
How much do you think you'll be having to sell from inventory or from material purchased?
I don't know if I have that number in front of me. It'll depend on how the wrap-up of Cigar Lake goes and our production from our other sites, but certainly we have enough inventory. We have significant inventory and enough to fill the need in 2014 and going forward if we need it.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Once again, if you have a question, please press star one at this time. And our next question is from Doug Cawley from NBC Radio. Please go ahead.
Hi. I joined this discussion a little late, so I just wanted to know what the name of the person is who started the call, who introduced the new members of the management team.
So, Doug, it's Tim Gitzel from Cameco. I'm the president and CEO.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. This will conclude the questions from the telephone lines. I would now like to turn the meeting back to Mr. Tim Gitzel for his closing remarks.
Well, thank you very much, operator, and thank you to everyone that's joined us on the call today. In conclusion, I would say we certainly agree, and we've stated these are challenging times in the nuclear industry, but we do see the fundamentals for our business as being strong and presenting an exciting opportunity for our new team here at Cameco. Together with our talented employees and world-class asset base, our team continues to be focused on the safe, innovative execution of our business plan for the benefit of all of our stakeholders. So I say to all of you, thank you again for joining us, and have a great day.